We're going to be talking about today about deliverance. I know that's a very unusual title, but the word deliverance means the action of being rescued or to be set free. You know, brethren, today the world is trapped in fear from an invisible enemy, which has been loosened on the world by an invisible enemy. Yes, that's right. The problems facing humanity originated not by humans, but by the spiritual world. We are experiencing and trapped in a battle between good and evil. We are approaching the end of the age. We shouldn't be surprised then at all, for all of this has been prophesied. And it says there will be a sign in the sun, in the moon, and stars upon the earth, and dismay among nations. Dismay among nations in perplexity at the roaring of the sea and the waves, men fainting from fear and the expectation of things which are coming upon the world. For the scriptures say, the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. But he says, when you see these things begin to take place, as we are witnessing this very day, he says, straighten up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. In the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which will never, ever be destroyed. And that kingdom will not be left for another people. It will crush and put to an end all those kingdoms, but itself will endure forever. We find that in Daniel, the second chapter, in the 44th verse. These words spoken by the prophet Daniel over 2,626 years ago are just now coming into play. In the book of Matthew, in chapter 24, we have very, very similar words which express this prophecy in the light of our day. When Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, his disciples asked him, in reference to the end times, well, what would be the signs or evidences of these occurrences? They were asking him. And Jesus answered and said to them, see to it that no one misleads you. This is very important. See to it that no one misleads you. For many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will mislead many. And you will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not frightened. He says, for those things must take place, but that is not the end yet. He says, for nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And in various places, there will be famines and earthquakes. And he goes on and says, but all these things are merely the beginning of birth pangs. He continues in verse 21, for then there will be a great tribulation, such as not occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor ever shall. Jesus gives us this example of birth pangs, like a woman about to give birth to the child. An example that we can all relate to. Brethren, never in the history of the world, past and present, has mankind experienced the pandemic and fear that has overtaken the world. People all over the world are experiencing a common fear of sickness plus being locked in their homes And unfortunately, it's been politicized all over the world as well. In parts of Europe, thousands of people have died in weeks. We read in Psalms 91, and David speaks, those who trust in the Lord, we'll start with verse 2. He says, I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For it is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. Interestingly, this word pestilence is from Strong's number 1698, and it means any infectious disease such as the bubonic plague or what we have today that is described as COVID-19. Jesus himself refers to these same conditions we are experiencing today. In Luke 21, Jesus continues his warning to the nation of Israel, which in reality is a reflection of the world today. He says in verse 10, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be great earthquakes in various places. And there will be plagues. And he says there will be famines. There will be terrors and great signs from heaven. Let's examine this scripture. Do we see nations going against one another today? Well, brethren, there are over 40 active conflicts around the world at the moment. While Syria and Afghanistan and Iraq are well known, there are many conflicts that don't get the media or the policy attention of these worlds, or these wars rather. But the toll of decades long conflicts from Colombia to the Ogaden, from Kashmir to Western Sahara, is just as devastating for those people who live there. The number of people affected by humanitarian crises has almost doubled over the past decade. Climate change, population growth, volatile markets, water scarcity, sectarianism, and Muslim groups and extremists are pushing more communities to the very edge. Two of the most dangerous potential conflicts are with the nation of China today and North Korea, which we term the Hermit Kingdom. Now, in regards to earthquakes, we'll start with Zechariah, the 14th chapter and the 5th verse. And the prophet says, and you will flee by the valley of the mountains will reach to Azel. Yes, you will flee just as you did in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. Then the Lord my God will come and all the holy ones with him. This valley of blessing would picture God's kingdom. So we can see, because of the trouble coming on the earth, those who love God will flee to his protection. Jesus speaks of this condition in Matthew chapter 14, verse 7, and we quote. He says, again, for nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And in various places, he says, there will be famines and earthquakes. Now, the usage of this word earthquakes in Matthew comes from the word number in Strong's of 4588. And it means to cause a commotion. Or, as it says in 4579, to throw into a fear, a tremor, or a concern. Again, in Mark 13, verse 8, it says that this is only the beginning of birth pangs. In other words, brethren, society would be in a turmoil. Is not that what we see today? People running about with fear, sometimes for no reason at all, except the fear is prevalent. Now, as far as the earthquakes in the literal sense goes, here is a report by the British Geological Survey, and we'll quote. They say that earthquakes in populated places are far more noticed than the many that occur in remote regions. So, when by chance a run of earthquakes hits population centers, it appears that the number of events has increased. Also, there are more people than ever in earthquake regions today. So although the number of earthquakes remains the same, the impact increases. This same type of warning that we read about in Matthew 24 happened in a foretelling way in Israel in the days of Isaiah. And we read about this in Isaiah, his 29th chapter. This is a picture of how the Lord will act in the last days against the enemies of Zion, his people. Let's start with verse 3. We quote. And the prophet says, "And I will camp against you, encircling you, and I will set siege works against you. And I will raise up battle towers against you. Then you shall be brought low. For the earth you shall speak, and from the dust where you are prostrate, your words shall come. Your voice shall be like that of a spirit from the ground, and your spirit shall whisper from the dust. But the multitude of your enemies shall become like fine dust." Verse 6, "From the Lord of hosts you will be punished with thunder and earthquakes and loud noises, with whirlwind," or it means confusion, "and tempest and the flame of a consuming fire," unquote. So brethren, you don't have to worry about the evil being punished. Believe me, they will be punished. God says, "Vengeance is mine." So we are beginning to see that the birth pangs that we're speaking of will be coming in many, many forms that will affect humanity in a very strong way. Today, many are fearful of their life. They are told to stay away from one another, to wear face coverings, which are not normal. This separation from human contact is beginning to have an enormous downside worldwide. Psychologists and psychiatrists are beginning to observe that when the human touch is removed, that mental problems begin to appear. In some cases, even suicide becomes prevalent. People become as sheep to be directed, even if it's not to their advantage. In this case of fear, it is not implying reverence, but actual fear. It's a very interesting verse in the book of Revelation regarding this word prison. Revelation 2:10. We quote, "Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison so that you may be tested." Interestingly, this word prison used in this verse comes from Strong's number 5442, and it means to be put into isolation. And that is what has happened to the world's population in general. In the past few months, there have been riots in most civilized cities. Buildings are burned, stores looted, people killed, no respect for law and order. Some municipalities have encouraged their citizens to spy on each other. Heaven forbid, it reminds you of Germany in World War II. If you are a Christian, you're in the crosshairs of this out of control society. Again, we read in Matthew 24 to check our safety barometer, starting with verse 9. Then they will deliver you to tribulation. That means anguish. And will kill you. And you will be hated by all nations on account of my name. This is especially true for Israel. And at that time, many will fall away and will deliver up one another and hate one another. This is the falling away, brethren, that we read in Scripture of those who lose faith. They feel that the Lord is not helping them and is not with them. So they fall away from the faith. We're living in a time of chaos, brethren. Ask anyone you meet on the street what they think of the world today. And I'm sure you won't get a favorable reply. With all this world has to offer, and yet millions across the globe are starving to death. Some are just praying for a cool drink of water rather than drinking from a mud puddle. The Lord has been gracious to most of us. I feel he's been gracious to me. Allowed me to share the gospel in many countries across the world. Now, when you complain that you don't have the latest fashion in clothing or designer shoes or even fashionable tennis shoes, let me remind you that in some places where I've been, there have been brethren that have only had one pair of worn out shoes. Some don't even have doors and windows in their houses, and most have just dirt floors in their homes. You know, the world of mankind is in a deplorable condition because of sin. In the case of material things, the story goes that one of our brethren, when visiting a third world country, many, many years ago, exclaimed to a sister, this was after the Iron Curtain fell, that she told the sister, she said that she was so sorry that she had so little. And the local sister replied back to her that she was so sorry that she had so much. All the brethren that I know are so thankful to have the technology available to us today that we can still meet online, as it were, since the lockdown began. Especially those of our brethren who in the past have not had the ability to travel can now enjoy many more brethren online than in the past. I was thinking about what Brother Adam said. I truly miss the brethren, to see them and look them in the face and give them a big hug. I really miss that. I remember as a child, my mother and my aunt, her sister, would talk into the wee hours of the morning about the truth. Often in their conversation, they would refer to how Brother Russell viewed the downfall and what would bring it about. It's interesting that his thinking is just as relevant about finances today as it was in his day. I'd like to quote to you some of his thoughts about finances in the world condition. It comes from the Watchtower 1908 reprint 4111. He says, "We're not meaning to say that the banks of the country are not sound. Quite to the contrary, they are very rich, if their wealth be measured by the securities that they hold. It is our expectation that the present stress will ere long be much relieved, but we do not expect to see as great a prosperity as the past few years have witnessed. Rather, we can see, brethren, that his day was very, very similar to what ours is. He felt that there would be a downgrade. With repeated hitchings or spasms of trouble in harmony with the apostles' illustrations that this trouble, that is this coming upon the world, this trouble, would be coming as travail upon a woman with child. He was looking for the final spasm to happen in 1915, which we know didn't happen. It was impossible for him to see the magnitude of the trouble coming upon the world that we see and are experiencing today. We continue. What shall we do? Quite a good many are inquiring as to the wisest course in view of our expectations. If by this query is meant, how can it be escaped? Our reply is that it will be impossible to escape the coming trouble other than death. We see that the scriptures clearly emphasize that there is no escape. Once again, we go to the scriptures to get our confirmation. We refer you to the book of Amos, chapter 5. That's Amos chapter 5. This prophecy was directed to Israel about 750 BC. Nevertheless, the conditions and results of all the disobedience will fall as recorded, not only to Israel, but to the whole world in the day of the Lord. We'll start with verse 18. The prophet says, "Alas, you who are longing for the day of the Lord. For what purpose will the day of the Lord be to you?" He says it'll be darkness and not light. As when a man flees from a lion and a bear meets him, or he goes home and he leans his hand against the wall and a snake bites him. In this parable, the prophet is teaching us that there is no escape from the wrath of God as the time approaches, except by death, of which the church will experience. 100 years ago, for all practical purposes, the finance world was a standalone. However, today, the banking system is completely tied together. If one country falls into bankruptcy, the entire system becomes shaky. Even 75 years ago, when Germany began to fail financially, its effect was a ripple effect all through Europe. And about 20 years or so ago, it may have been longer, Mexico found themselves underwater. The United States had to rush in and prop them up with a $40 million loan to prevent insolvency. The biggest bank collapse occurred with the fall of Lehman Brothers here in the United States. The financial loss was so large, the Federal Reserve had to cover the losses, and the effects are still being felt today. The one thing that seems to connect all the countries and nations together in this day and age is money. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, we read some very interesting insights into the subject of money. In this reading, it does not say that money itself is bad. Of course not. It's the love of it, brethren. We quote verse 7. He says, "For we have brought nothing into this world, so we cannot take anything out of it either. And if we have food and covering with these things, we shall be content. But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction." he goes on, for the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil. Some, by the longing for, have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many a pang. The longing for it is as addictive as any drug, possibly worse. I remember, as I can speak for myself as a young man, when it's coming up, the stars, you look to the stars, you think that you're never going to die, and I'm going to make $1 million, $10 million, and so forth, and that's what you set your sights on. You get your priorities a little bit mixed up, and you get confused by the riches of this world. But you know, the older you get, those perceptions begin to change, and you see what is really important, and those fall away. Birth pangs. Within this past month, the United States has been plagued with riots from coast to coast. Buildings have been burnt down to the ground. Buildings have been looted in the name of protests. In fact, there are protests going on right now in Seattle and Portland. However, when the rest were questioned, and they asked these people, where are you from? The majority of them said they were from distant locations. In other words, they were bussed in to cause havoc and mayhem. When one young girl was asked why she was participating, she said that she wanted to see the cities burnt to the ground. Unquote. Now, brethren, if this doesn't sound like anarchy, I don't know what does. When we speak of the love of money, we're not necessarily speaking of currency, but amassing of any kind of wealth in land, houses, gold, silver, what have you. This all applies to the day that we're living in, right now, today. Timothy speaks of difficult times to come. In his treatise of the second chapter, he speaks of the conditions that will precede the end times. These verses which we cite will be very familiar and are very familiar to you. Nevertheless, they are more relevant today than any time in the past. Why? Because these conditions exist now the world over. There's not isolated incidents anymore, brethren. The trouble covers the globe. Chapter 2, starting with verse 1. But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. This times is translated as a special designated time. He says, for men will be lovers of self, lovers of money. And if you ever turn on your television or listen on the radio, there's some company always trying to get you to buy their gold or silver or CDs or whatever, always pushing to buy this money. Lovers of self, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, like the one girl said she wanted to see these burned to the ground, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, inconceivable, malicious gossips. Sorry, folks, but it looks like that it could be possible that Facebook even promotes this gossip without self-control. And it goes on. But the last description is the worst by far. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. The following statistics are from the Trace Gun Violence and continues amid this lockdown that a lot of people all over the globe are experiencing. Between March and late April of 2020, the United States saw nearly 2,100 firearm deaths, a higher total than the same period in any time of the past 3 years. This doesn't include murder by knife or bludgeoning to death or strangling, unfortunately. And all of this is just in one country. Our quotation now comes from the book of Daniel, chapter 12. We quote. Daniel says, "Now at that time, Michael, the great prince who stands guard over the sons of your people, will arise. And there will be a time of distress such as never occurred since there was a nation," unquote. Ask yourself, the older of you in this group, have you ever seen conditions like this or experienced the conditions like this in your life? Now, bear in mind that these words of the prophecy were directed to the nation of Israel, but they have a broader application to the world in general. You may ask yourself, well, what stage of the birth pangs are we in? Well, that's up to you to decide. Everyone's circumstances are different, as directed by our Lord. Brother Russell's advice in general would be to trust in the Lord and to do good. Exercise faith. Easier said than done. Exercise faith and in the spirit of a sound mind. Remember the Lord's promise to care for all who are His and to make all things work together for their good. Rely upon this and show your faith by your calm, quiet demeanor in the midst of the trouble. Just like Brother Darren was talking about the tabernacle and at the end of the age. Concerning this present virus, there have been several even more devastating viruses in the past. What is now different is that they are becoming closer to one another. Another fact that is not brought to light is that the regular flu has not abated. According to the Center for Disease Control, the CDC, in the U.S. alone, you can expect in the neighborhood of 48,000 to 60,000 deaths every year contributed to this virus alone, with the flu. The adversary is running out of time and will try anything within the limits of his power to thwart the church from being completed. We consider ourselves to be of the John class. We are the last to be tested for this prize of the high calling. We are considered to be the church described in Revelation as the church of Laodicea. This is found in Revelation chapter 3 verses 14 through 22. Because we have been born at the end of this age, we've had many more benefits than the other saints possess. Here are the words to John as directed by our Lord Jesus. And he says, "And to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the Amen, the faithful and true witness," meaning a martyr, "the beginning of the creation of God, says this: I know your deeds, your efforts, that you are neither cold nor hot." In other words, your efforts to spread the gospel are pretty pathetic. Then he gets very specific. He says, "Because you are lukewarm and neither hot or cold," he says, "I will spit you out of my mouth." This word spit comes from Strong 1692 and actually means to vomit. We believe the thought here is because you have not given it your all. I'd rather watch that football game next Saturday. I know there's a convention going on, but you know, I just don't want to miss that game. It's important to me. You haven't given it your all. And the Lord will not have anything to do with you. And in this vein of thought, he goes on. "Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and you don't know what that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Brethren, we must consider these words from our Lord Jesus as they are directed to us at the end of this age. He is pleading with us to draw closer to him and to trust him come what may. These testings are coming as a part of the birth pangs. He continues in his effort to enrich you with his wisdom and love. He says, I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire. And this expression, buy from me, is explained by Brother Russell as buy at the cost of self-sacrifice. This treasure can only be purchased at the cost of our entire consecration, our sacrifice of all that we have to Christ. At the cost of faithful, constant submission to the discipline of the Lord in the fiery trials we will experience at the end of this age where we're now living, at the expense of reputation and worldly interest. In verse 20, the Lord says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him and he with me. As the apostle tells in his second book, the Lord is not slow about his promises, some count slowness, but is patient towards you and I, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Thank you, Father, for that patience. In the last two verses of this third chapter, Jesus tells us, he who overcomes, I will grant with him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. That's you and I, brethren. We have an extra trial put upon us with this virus and these lockdowns at this end of the age. We must not lose hope. We must persevere, for he is with us. For he said he would never leave us, for this is but a moment in time. My dear brethren, the battle is long and hard fought. Some of us will toil for 70 or more years, and yet some of us will spend a much shorter time. It is when the Lord says, it is enough. The most blessed words we will ever hear are these. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them. Amen.